by this church and by you all. And anyway, so we'll talk more about that next week. So let me go ahead and open our sermon time here with prayer. Our God in heaven, Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the ways that you have just encouraged and blessed my family. You've encouraged and blessed me. And it is just your faithfulness to do the work that you've promised you're going to do through your body. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray that the words I say now would align with your truth completely, and that the words that are heard and applied in the hearts, Lord, would be what you want for each person. Lord, we give this time to you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are going to work on our memorization for this week, and we are going to be looking at we're in chapter 9, by the way, so Proverbs chapter 9. And Robert, if you pull up, we're going to do verse 10. Now, this is very similar to the one we did last week, and so we kind of got messed up with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, now we're going to learn the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. This is the best memorization verse of this whole chapter, in my opinion. So we're going to go with this one, but I think the ideas here are so, so important. So let's repeat this together. All right, all of us together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Okay, you kids working on it with us? Let's do it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Okay, Robert, take us to the next slide. All right, ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Let's do that one more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. All right, next one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. I appreciate hearing Rachel's loud voice coming over here. This helped me out. All right, listen one more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Okay, next slide. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Excellent. Really good. That's awesome. So, kids, you've got a sheet and some things to fill in on one side. I'll make sure I reference those. But this is a passage that shows us the stark and black and white difference between wisdom and foolishness or folly. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to see a advertisement, you know, like an ad that comes up on YouTube or on TV that is like super honest? You know, all advertising is actually like everything they say about the product they're selling. It might be true, but they're only telling you the upsides. You know, have you ever seen a fast food restaurant, you know, or Dunkin' Donuts or something like tell you that enjoy our product in moderation? Have you ever heard like, hey, don't eat too much McDonald's. Maybe go light on our product. Because really, if you eat too much of what we're selling, it's not healthy. You never, ever hear that. Or think about a politician. Have you ever heard a politician once say, hey, here's my plan and what I'd like to do. But to be honest, there's also some downsides to my plan. We all need to be aware of the downsides of my plan. Have you ever heard a politician say that? No, it's all upside. It's all good, right? It's all more like, you remember Napoleon Dynamite's advice to Pedro in his speech? Because Pedro is like, I don't know what to say to the student assembly because he's running for class president. And Napoleon tells him, what does he say? He's like, just tell them that all your wildest dreams will come true if you vote for me. Vote for Pedro. All your wildest dreams will come true. That's the way everything is advertised. But here in Proverbs 9, God is giving us ultra clarity on the benefits of choosing wisdom versus the downsides of folly. So it's that kind of starkness. You know, Jesus talked like that throughout the New Testament or the Gospels. You know, one thing verse that comes to mind is in John 10, he says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You see what I mean by a stark difference? Like what Satan wants to do in your life is steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is saying, what I want to do in your life is give you abundant life. But of course, the reality is when we're walking through life, that's Satan never presents himself as a steal, kill, and destroy guy, right? He comes looking great, sounding great, feels great. I mean, everything, the first few steps are awesome, right? That's the way it usually works with Satan. But Proverbs 9, again, gives us that hard contrast. And he contrasts these two sides by personifying folly and wisdom. So there's this woman named Lady Wisdom, describes it as a person. He's just, all he's doing in Proverbs is artistically helping us to imagine wisdom as a person. And then same thing with folly. It's like Lady Folly. It's this person. And kids, you see on your back of your sheet, I've got a picture here where we've got Lady Folly on one side inviting people to come on, I got a nice meal for you in here. And then we also got Lady Wisdom on the other side that's saying, come on, everybody, come on in this side, I've got a nice meal for you. But the deal is that Lady Folly leads to death and Lady Wisdom leads to life. And so the main point that I hope that we carry away from this day is that we are committing ourselves, that each day, with each decision I'm making, I am pursuing wisdom. And I'm recognizing that Lady Folly is also calling me and inviting me as well. But what will I choose? So let's look at these two feasts. They're offering us two feasts. And what is the Bible teaching about these feasts? First of all, we're going to look at Lady Wisdom. And kids, we got your first point. If you flip the page over, our first point to fill in, it says, know that the way of wisdom is bountiful life. So you guys see on your sheet, you want to fill in life there? And first point, know that the way of wisdom is bountiful life. In other words, I have like deciding in my mind that it's like the way of wisdom is the way I'm going to lead to life. Like that's the path to life and prosperity. And he is making it clear. So first of all, the truth of wisdom is really built into the fabric of the universe. Because God created the world and he created wisdom. Verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. And seven is often associated and symbolic in the Bible of perfection. Like what she has made is perfect and it's built into the fabric of life. And we're going to contrast that in a minute with folly, because folly does not build things. Folly just takes and steals from other things. C.S. Lewis liked to talk about the idea that Satan does not create pleasure. Satan has no pleasures that he makes. All Satan does is twists the good things that God made. Evil doesn't invent anything. All it does is twist the things that God has made. So God has built a universe with rules and wisdom and good, and there's a direction that leads to life and health and prosperity and those kinds of things. And all Satan can do is come into that and twist it to fool us, to try to draw us into a shortcuts. And the second thing in verse 2 is that it's bountiful and it's hospitable. It says, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. So what Lady Wisdom is offering is a lavish meal. It's not just a quick fix. It is like this has taken some time to develop this, and she is offering all this abundance and life. I don't know if anybody's had like a meal that they remember. You know, I couldn't tell you what I had for dinner a couple of days ago or lunch last week, but there's definitely some of those meals that you remember. Like, wow, that was awesome. I still remember that meal. I remember Christy and I went on a date night together. My parents took us and our youngest kids to Disney World a long time ago. And they kept the kids, and we went on a date night at Disney World. We went to this restaurant at Disney that was so good. And Christy and I talk about that all the time, like all the different food that they brought us. It was so delicious. Lady Wisdom is providing a bountiful, lavish meal. And then third, it is in verse 3, wisdom is pure. It says, she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. And here, this young women idea is representing purity. And it contrasts with Lady Folly, which is, just drawing through just visuals and just trying to get people through the personification of ugly and terrible things. Wisdom is never seeking to take advantage or just, you know, get a quick buck out of us. And then it's saying that wisdom is calling even from the highest places. So wisdom is out there. It's calling to us and inviting us, but we have to listen to it. We have to abide it. And then in verse 4, it says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. So wisdom is inviting and it's nourishing. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom is offering nourishment, health, provision, everything that you need for life. And that sounds really good. And the idea here is that we need to remember, so the idea is I need to remember that wisdom leads to bountiful life. And I think it's also important to realize that this wisdom and bountiful life is slow developing. It takes time to raise animals that you then slaughter to eat. It takes years to develop vineyards and wine. And that's the way of wisdom as well. There aren't quick fixes. There aren't shortcuts. And I think about wisdom as the kind of thing where you're stacking it each day. Right? You can't pack all of your healthy eating into one day a month. You know, we're like, let's do 1 month worth of exercise. But, you know, 1 month worth of exercise, we're going to do that in one day. It doesn't work like that. I have to stack healthy days to be healthy. The same works with wisdom. I've got to stack wise decisions. I start making wise decisions. Then the next day, I'm going to make a wise decision. You stack that over time. Lady Folly says, hey, let's just take a shortcut and we can get this right now. So now let's contrast that amazing meal that Lady Wisdom is offering with the meal that Lady Folly is offering us. So we're going to jump down to her section, starting in verse 13. That's our second point, kids. It says, know that the way of folly is horrific death. So our second point, fill in death. On our second point, fill in death. And again, this is a black and white contrast. It's like it couldn't be more extreme. One side is bountiful life. One side is horrific death. Verse 13 says, the woman Folly is loud, she is seductive, and she knows nothing. Folly is loud, it's flashy, but it's empty. You know, that kind of loud and brash and seductive. And the reason it's got to do that is because there's nothing behind it. Have you guys ever heard that saying? I've heard it in Texas. They say, that guy is all hat and no cattle. Have you guys ever heard that phrase? It's, I guess that's like the guy who shows up with the big, amazing cowboy hat at the auction. He looks impressive, but there ain't no cattle behind this guy. And that's the way folly is. It's loud and it's brash and seductive, but there's really nothing there. It's empty. Foolishness says, just do whatever your appetite say. It's like, you want to eat that, eat it. You want to do that, do that. You want to go that way, go that way. Do what you want. Whatever feels good. And in verse 14, it says, she sits at the door of her house. And then she takes seat on the highest places of the town. So remember, we the same thing with wisdom. Wisdom is at the high places, but she's inviting out. Hey guys, come to my house. Lady Folly, she sits down at the high places as if it belongs to her, as if she built it, as if those high places are hers. But all Lady Wisdom can do is just rob. She selfishly sits on things that were built by others. You know, think about, again, the idea that God has constructed this world. He has made everything that's wonderful and good. You know, the reason that food and other things are awesome is because he's an awesome God who makes things enjoyable. All Satan can do is twist those things to make him his own. So here's Lady Folly. She's sitting in these high places as if it belongs to her because she is a liar and she is a thief. And that's what the next verses say, starting in verse 15. It says, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Again, the only thing she has to offer is what others have made, what others have done. She just steals from that. And she says, you can have the benefits of these good things without any of the work, without any of the commitment, without having to build at all. And she asks, what could be more sweet or more pleasant than enjoying someone else's labor? Someone else has done the work, and I'm going to take it for myself. And then verse 18 is the scary reality, and why I say it's horrific. It says, verse 18, but he does not know, talking about the simple man, he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Because you guys see on your sheet, tell me, what is behind the house of Folly? What do you see behind her house? Do you guys see that? Look on your sheet. What's on the sheet behind her house? Can somebody tell me? Yeah. Tombstones. Behind her house is a graveyard. It's like the simple person goes into her feast and doesn't realize that, wow, this is great. And you can imagine that scary movie where it's like at some point you realize, oh boy, all these people I'm enjoying are actually not alive. It's like super ghoulish and super horrific. But that is the imagery. That is the reality. Lady Folly is serving the quick, the easy. It doesn't require work. It's all pleasure and enjoyment. And it's all built on what other people have done. But the sad reality is ultimately it is leading to the graveyard. Again, the contrast between the two could not be more black and white. Jesus said, I came to give bountiful life. Satan's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Lady Folly offers an invitation to everybody, but it's a meal that is stolen. It is a meal that ultimately leads to death. And Lady Wisdom says, hey, come on here. And there is life. There is bounty. So that leads to the third point. Kids, you got your third point on your sheet. Commit to choose wisdom each day. Like I said before, we want to stack these choices. Stack the choice of I want to go in the way of wisdom each day. It's not just the kind of thing where I go into her house and there, I'm good. No, this is an invitation to us each day to go the way of folly or to go the way of wisdom. So each day, which way will I go? Will I choose the way of wisdom or will I choose the way of folly? And the sad reality is that many choose folly. And that's where the middle verses go to. Verse 7, we get a description of the person that doesn't want to hear feedback, doesn't want to hear like, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Verse 7, whoever corrects a scoffer, and a scoffer is like, that's the person who's like, I don't want to hear that. You know, or like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, hey, you haven't thought of this. Or, you know, there's just so many ways that a scoffer says to Lady Wisdom, I don't want you. You don't have what I need. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. And I think what he's saying there is like, you can experience that yourself. You've probably experienced it yourself, like telling somebody, hey, what you're doing is not good, or you need to go in a different direction. And they don't hear it. They scoff at you, like stop. Or maybe they even attack you, come back at you in some way. Jesus referred to this idea of throwing pearls before swine. You know, so it's like you throw the food out to the pigs, you throw some nice pearls out before the pigs, they treat them exactly the same. I'm gonna stomp it all and I'm going to eat it all. And that's the truth of a scoffer, sadly. Kids, listen to your parents. Your parents, there's no perfect parent. Every parent makes mistakes. But your parents care about you, they love you, and they want what's best for you. Also, your parents have been down that road before. They know what's down that road. Don't scoff at it. Listen. Listen to the wisdom that's available to you. And here's the wise. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. I mean, that's the wise people get more and more wise. The people that love instruction get even more and more and more. This reminds me a lot of the parable of the, you know, where the Jesus talks about the master who gives money to his servants. One of them takes his and he invests it and makes even more for the master. Another one does the same thing. And then one of them, he's like, I'm just going to bury this rather than invest it. And the master comes back and said, why did you waste your time with my money? And he took it and he gave it to the one who had more. That's the way it is. And it's like the fool says, hey, that's not fair. It's like, well, it's been available to you. God is inviting you to wisdom. Why would you ignore it and go your own way? Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in learning. And then ultimately, I think verse 10 is just so powerful. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So should we try this verse again? Robert, you can skip the verse. Just skip down to the, yeah, the fear of the, let's read it real quick. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So skip down to the one where it's blank. Let's see if we can get it. All right, ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Good. So fear of the Lord. Again, like I said last week, it doesn't mean I'm terrified. It means I'm in awe of his awesomeness. I'm not taking him for granted. And I think of myself a lot of times, you know, it's like I have been reading this Bible and studying this Bible for most of my life, and I know a lot. And honestly, I'm ashamed to admit the number of times where I've knowingly walked into sin. It's like, I know this is not right, but it's like just sort of this flippant idea of like, God will forgive me. And I just think that at the heart of that is I don't really fear him. I'm not in awe of him. I take for granted his grace and his love for me. And brothers and sisters, the solution is not work harder. Like try harder. Do more, stop doing that and fear him more. Like it's just the gospel. It's honesty before God. It's admitting like that was sin. That was sin. And I don't fix my sin. Jesus fixes my sin. So it's confession. Right? It's just, Lord, you died for this sin. The fact that I don't fear you in this, and I'm taking your grace so flippantly. Lord, forgive me. That's the solution. And then there's this idea of knowing God. He says the knowing the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? It's God. John 17:3, I've got it on the screen. Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The knowledge of the Holy One is eternal life. The knowledge of the Holy One has been made possible through the gospel. You think about the grand story of the gospel where God made Adam and Eve in this wonderful, idyllic place with no sin, and he walked with them. They knew God. And he warned them and said, if you sin, you are going down the path, you will die. And they were, through that sin, separated from God. But God was not done with mankind. He sent his Son to die in our place so that we can know him, so that we can have a relationship with him. Knowledge of God, relationship with God. In other words, not just facts, not just a mind full of information, but relationship with him. He says is insight. In Paul in Corinthians talks about how the mind of God, like who can know the mind of God? Who can know that? I mean, let alone the mind of somebody else. Like, let alone the mind of, I mean, you can watch a four-year-old operate and get a good idea about what's in their mind, right? But you really don't know everything that's going on there, much less an adult, much less the God of the universe. Who can know the mind of God? Well, Paul goes on to say that, but the Spirit of God has been put in us. And the Spirit of God does know the mind of God. That is at the heart of insight, at the heart of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord and knowledge, relationship with the Holy One. And then back to Proverbs 9, he gives us the result. It is an increased, multiplied days of life. Verse 11, for by me your days will be multiplied and your years will be, and years will be added to your life. And then verse 12 is the hard reality. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. In other words, you go into Lady Folly's house on your own. Other people are going to experience the hardship, the people that are closest to us for sure. But you alone get that. Going into the house of wisdom, you benefit from that. And I think another way to think about this is like somebody else can't do this for you. You know, kids, mom and dad can direct you, but you got to make the decisions yourself, right? Mom and dad can give you wisdom, but you got to make the choice. And as you grow, you're going to get more and more freedom to go in the way you want to go. And mom and dad can't do that for you. And if you're like me, I wish I could a lot of times, but I can't. It's the reality of it. You got to choose it yourself. And you're going to reap the rewards or the hardship of the one that we choose. And keeping in mind that these are daily decisions. It's like, I want wisdom. I want to go in the direction of wisdom and stack those wise choices each day. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. This is Jesus. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So, tomorrow, this afternoon, the next day, what's the choice? Am I following the wisdom that God has made available to me through Jesus to know him, to be in relationship with him, to be able to build those wise choices, or am I going to choose folly? That is the choice that we are faced with, and that is the reality. That is the reality of wisdom. So let me close us in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that your spirit really would enable us to make these choices and to recognize where we might be going that may be foolish. Lord, help us to see the choices with the stark black and white reality that you describe here. Help us to reject the lie of folly that you can go down that path a little ways and there's always time to shift. That's a lie. Lord, help us to live in the truth that you make wisdom available to us. Give us hearts that desire to seek it. And give us hearts that desire to fear you, Lord, because that is the beginning of wisdom, to know you, because that is the beginning of insight. We praise you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.